Well, if it looks like I'm a little extra perky today, it's because I am. I'm not necessarily well slept, but my heart is so full. I have spent the last week at Camp at the Cascades, where I was the speaker for a camp they call Timber Rock. So it's for junior high students, and then there was a bunch of high school and college students that were also there serving and in training. Actually, can we show a little bit of the video from some of this stuff? That's nice. There we go. So getting to, you know, speaking outdoor amphitheater. Oh, there we go. All right. But if you've never been to camp, it can be just some of the most crazy fun you ever experienced. What made it especially great was got to serve there with two of our daughters. So our daughter Lauren. Yep. Yeah. It is really, really crazy. Crazy, crazy, high energy, fun, and kids are coming to Christ. It is just so, so amazing to get to spend time with the next generation, both to see our girls who, their experiences at camp were just hugely spiritually formative, to see them now in areas of leadership. Actually, one of the conversations I had last week with one of the counselors was especially impactful for me was, so as he was counseling for the first time. His camp name is Banyan. Everyone has a camp name there. By the way, I'm Gandalf. Hi, good to meet you. Mostly because I'm old, I think. His camp name is Banyan, and it was his first time serving at least in a counseling role. And he took me aside to say, I was a T-Rocker 5 years ago, and I still remember the message you gave that night. Which is like, we just realized, like, because, you know, when you're talking to junior high students, you don't always know whether anything is getting all the way through. So it's just really kind of fun to come back a few years later and go, oh, look, there is fruit. There's like real, real fruit from doing youth ministry. So if you want to fill your heart up, just jump into some youth ministry stuff. God is moving in the next generation, and it is beautiful. It's messy, it's loud, but it is beautiful. Beautiful. Now, we are in a series in the month of July, in the book of Matthew, on this idea of margin. And I hope this summer, I hope you're feeling some margin. If you compare your stress level in July to your stress level, let's say, in November, who would say you're less stressed in July? Only that many hands, really? Who is less stressed last November? The rest of you are like, I feel a trap coming on. I'm not trapping you. We're just talking. We're just talking, folks. Come on. I hope you are feeling a little bit more margin. Okay, so just because you're not going to play along with my raise the hand game. Fair. You know, junior hires don't have this problem. I get lots of feedback when I'm in your amphitheater full of junior high students. I get plenty of feedback. But without saying any numbers out loud, what would you say your stress level is today? Scale of 1 to 10. You don't need to say anything out loud, but just kind of mentally check in. Are you 4 or less? Maybe. Maybe 5 to 6. Maybe some of you are feeling an 8 or 9, in which case, I'm really glad you're here. What do you hope it would be? See, all of us, we struggle with worry and anxiety. We have things that we fixate on. We think about a lot. Even though, like in the passage that we're focusing on throughout the month of July, even though Jesus says don't, and, well, thankfully, he doesn't just tell us not to worry. He actually tells us how to not worry. So let's hear our passage, this beautiful word of instruction and promise from our Savior from Matthew chapter 6. I invite us to stand as we hear it, just out of reverence for God's word. And also because, I mean, if there's, whether or not you think I have something to say today, God has something to say. And so let's hear God's word together and just pray that each one of us would hear exactly what we need to hear from God's word today, because his Spirit speaks through his word. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, this is our Savior Jesus speaking, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. So throughout this series, we've been looking at, among other things, the top three, at least what I deem to be the top three reasons why we find ourselves stressed and what we can do about it. So last week, we looked at how one of the reasons why we worry, why we get overstressed, is because we are too busy. And so we looked at God's patterns, his rhythm for living, this idea of a daily pause, that each day we spend intentional time with the Lord in prayer, in the word, in thought. We spend intentional time with Jesus. And how each week there's a time of Sabbath, that there should be a day, a 24-hour period, whether that is Saturday, Sunday, or some other day of the week, a 24-hour period set aside just for rest and refreshment in the Lord. And we looked at the idea of those seasonal holy days, where we get the root word holiday from, those times where we get to gather, we get to feast, we get to celebrate, we get to remember how this was the rhythm that God built into his people because he designed us for that. So one of the reasons why we can be, if we find ourselves really struggling with worry, is because we haven't taken time to rest. It was so encouraging for me to hear that actually some of you did something about it. That is so cool. I heard from a number of you that we talked about maybe the idea of praying the hours. Do you put little timers on your phone or on your smartwatch throughout the day just to remind you to pause and pray? And that it really does help when we do that. If you just have that reminder, oh, let's remember where God is. It's noon. Let's remember what God is doing. Oh, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, Lord, what are you doing around me right now? Just those little reminders. Well, today we're going to take a look at what I believe to be reason number two. You may disagree with me in terms of what are the top three, but this is certainly up there, especially in our world today. Here's reason number two, is that we get too distracted. We get way too distracted. Now, here's a truth that... Well, it's just important to remember. Our lives generally move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Let me say that again. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. That's a quote by Craig Rochelle. When we focus on our needs, we focus on the things that we feel like we lack, we tend to be filled with worry. But when we focus on God's abundance, God's provision, we tend to be filled with peace and joy. That's why Jesus tells his disciples to look. You're filled with worry, so look. Look around, look around, look around. Look at the birds. How are they doing? They're doing just fine. Why? Because God is taking care of them. And are you not more important? Are you not more valuable than birds? Pass the chicken and we'll find out. You are more valuable than birds. And yet God cares for the birds. That means he cares for you. You're worried about how you look? Look at the wildflowers. They look amazing and nobody even tended them. Because do you know who is taking care of them? God. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So when we generally think about our needs, we are filled with worry. When we remember God's abundance, when we remember God's provision, we experience his peace and joy. Now, here's where that becomes especially important. And excuse me for clearing my throat a little bit. And actually, if somebody has some bottled water, I would really appreciate it. I am compensating for coming back to Wenatchee is dry. You notice that? Anyways, but if somebody could grab me some, because I think I've used all mine up here, almost. Anyways, I apologize for that. But see, we live in a world that is often referred to as an attention economy. Think about it. Some of the largest businesses right now in the world are ones where you are the product. You ever wonder how we can access things like Facebook? And I realize there's some irony in this because some of you right now are joining us for worship on Facebook or YouTube or joining us for worship on YouTube. That's great. Do you know how we get those services for free? Because those companies, they sell ad space based on information that you've given them, that I've given them, based on our viewing habits, so they see what we're doing, they see what we like, and then they sell ad space to advertisers so that we will pay attention to the advertisements. That's how it works. I'm not saying that, oh, thanks, Brian, I sure appreciate that. I'm not saying that's all bad, but I am saying that there is a vital spiritual dimension to the attention economy. A vital spiritual dimension to it. Well, here's how it got how it gets put by the book Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products. This is a quote by the author, I believe his name is Nir Eval. I'm not sure exactly if I'm spelling that right. It's an unusual spelling. Or I'm pronouncing that right. It's an unusual spelling. But here's the quote. It's thoughtful. When you're feeling uncertain, before you ask why you're uncertain, you Google. When you're lonely, before you're even conscious of feeling lonely, you go to Facebook. Before you know that you're bored, you're on YouTube. Nothing tells you to do these things. The users trigger themselves. Think about it. In these massive companies, there are people, extremely smart people, who study human behavior and try to figure out how to make ways for their product to become more sticky, how to get you to be on YouTube for longer, how to get you to be on Facebook for longer, or you to be on TikTok for longer, or Instagram, or whatever the social media platform is, because you are the product. You are the product. Have you noticed even some of the trends with that? Like, Well, you're probably aware that the big social media platform for teens right now is TikTok, right? And it's a short format, short format videos. So videos that are less than a minute in length. The rising format on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube is often called shorts or reels. You've probably seen those. They're a minute to a minute and a half in length. Very, very short. Very, very entertaining. Who has ever found themselves on one of those apps and it's almost like you kind of hit a little bit of a time warp? You're like, well, here I am on Facebook, and oh my goodness, is that the time? Who's experienced that? A bit of that. You're like, wow, what just happened here? That's because the product is working exactly like they designed it to capture your attention. Now, again, I'm not saying that's all bad, though I think we need to be very, very aware of it. We need to be very, very aware of how that's conditioning us and potentially shortening our attention spans. And while we are highly distracted by all these incredible products, God, who is the ultimate source of the peace and strength and hope that we are truly longing for, God, who is the source of the companionship and comfort that we are truly looking for, God doesn't show up as a dancing GIF. God doesn't have flashing red lights. He just invites us to notice. And the more we give our attention to other things, the harder it is for us to truly do what this passage is telling us to do, which is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things that we were looking for will be given to us in the process. The very thing that we're worried about can and does and will get met in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So in the brief time we had together, have together this morning, and this message is not particularly long, but what I do hope it will do is just introduce an idea as we are looking at what's it mean to have margin in my life, what's it mean to have a life that's got a little bit of space, is to just spend a little bit of time with this question. So what? What is capturing your attention? What are the devices, the situations, the things that are capturing your attention? What are the things that distract you in your walk with God? And what could it be like if we actually sought God first? We sought first the kingdom of God. What could it be like if we actually did that? I find it interesting that one of the phrases that is showing up in the business world and in the creative world of creative spaces is this idea of deep work. Have you heard this term? Author Cal Newport has really been pioneering this idea of deep work, that in a number of these areas, including the high-tech sector, which is so ironic, is that in order for people to be truly productive, they are very intentional about going offline. They're very intentional about removing the distractions. Now, I read this week. This is not an endorsement for this author's work, but I think it's really interesting. The author, George R.R. Martin, he's the author of Game of Thrones, which none of you have seen, I know. But just hypothetically, because you've heard of it, because you know your heathen neighbors watch it. But Game of Thrones, All of that work, that huge, huge body of work, all of that was done. Let me look this up. On a WordStart 1987 word processor. Literally this really super old DOS computer. And the reason why he did that is because the more distractions there were, the less productive he could actually be. Again, this is not an endorsement of the work. This is not an endorsement of the author, but I find that fascinating. Because if even the secular world is figuring this out, that if they want to really be productive in what they are truly seeking, they're going to be deliberate about removing the distractions that prevent them from finding what they're seeking. I think that some secular wisdom or secular insight that is based on this same biblical principle, and that one that Christ invites us to consider more deeply this morning. What are the things that distract you in your walk with God? Now, when Paul writes to the church in Colossae, in the book of Colossians, he writes this: "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Why? Because you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Just think about this with me for a moment. Everything that we need in this world is found in Christ. He is the one that goes before all things, who is after all things, who holds all things together. He is the one who fills all things. And you have, through faith, have been united with Christ. Let me see your eyes. Everything that your soul is longing for is available in Christ Jesus. He wants that for you. He has that for you. Everything your soul is longing for can be found in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul tells the church in Colossae, set your eyes, set your mind on things above. So what does it mean for us to do that? Well, one of the things, and this is the part I want us to consider today, to increasingly set our minds on things above, we need to take a good, honest look at the things that keep our minds from the things above. The attention snatchers, the distractions. So for just a few moments, I'm going to poke, okay? Consider this like a loving trip to the family physician. Now, for some of you, I'm going to poke there and you're like, I don't feel any pain there. Great. That means that's great. That's great. But I'm just going to poke just a little bit. And if you start to feel a sore spot where I poke, I'd like you to ask yourself, I wonder why I'm feeling so sore on that point. Lord, is there anything you'd like me to learn from this? Okay. I'm going to poke. I love you, which is why I'm going to poke. Does the presence of the television set in your house ever prevent you from having conversations? Is your television on in the house all the time? I'm not talking about occasionally intentionally watching a TV show, not Game of Thrones, but watching a TV show. But is it always on in the background? Or is it on to the degree that when you have other people over or you're talking with other family members, you're talking with your spouse, that you have a hard time paying attention to the conversation with the actual real-life human being? On a non-television topic. Do you ever find yourself do you find yourself frequently in conversations where you're talking to somebody, and you're routinely looking down. You hear a bzzz, and you look down. And a bzzz, and you look down. Or even worse, ding, and you look down. Ding, and you check your smartwatch. Ding, bzzz. To the degree that it's actually difficult to have a conversation. That's because we were not created to multitask. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be available to things that are truly important. And perhaps the sale going on at Target is truly important to you. But you probably don't need every notification on your phone. You probably don't. Now, for some of you, maybe you can manage it just fine, and that's absolutely okay. Again, if I'm poking and you're like, "That doesn't hurt," great, you're fine then. But if that stings a little bit, if your television set, if your radio, if your Siri, if your smartphone is actually getting in the way of real life connection with other human beings, and perhaps it may also be getting in the way of your connection with the Lord. And perhaps one of the things you can do to build more margin into your life is to be intentional about what you turn off, or what you have, what you intentionally limit access to top of mind awareness. If you want to find out about that fantastic sale, you can open up your phone and look for it. You can open up your laptop and look for it. You're aware that we are bombarded right now with somewhere between, depending on where you are and where you live, 4,000 to 10,000 ads a day. 4 to 10,000 attempts by various advertisers, by various companies to get your attention. And all the while, the Lord is there. The one who is tending the birds of the air, who is creating unimaginable beauty all around you. And he's not on TikTok. He's not creating YouTube shorts. Though I do hope, by the way, that in both of those environments, I hope there are Christian presence in those places. We need to be in the places where people are. But we also, we need to be very thoughtful about how we engage in those spaces. So here's a bit of unsolicited advice, and then I'll move on. If you think about your, like from the perspective of a parent or a grandparent, the limitations that you would give your children or your grandchildren on the electronics or on the devices in their life. Think about that. And think about the emotional tone that you would have about that, where you go, this is serious, and you know, when you understand that they might struggle. They might struggle with these things. So, and then treat yourself in the same way. Like whatever boundaries you would give your kids, why don't you give yourself the same boundaries? Whatever boundaries you would give your grandkids, give yourself the same boundaries and give yourself the same grace. Because if you find yourself fighting with the distractions, you're fighting against some massive, massive industries that are clamoring for your attention. And there's a spiritual dimension to that. Because all the while, your Heavenly Father is right there. Loves you more than you could ever imagine. And is longing to be the source of the wisdom you've been looking for, and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the gentleness and the self-control. He's longing to be the rock that is the fortress of the righteous. He is longing to be your protector. He's longing to provide you with the things that you truly, truly need. He is right, right there. One of the things that was super cool about camp is that at this camp, like many now, one of the first things that happen as campers come into the week is they surrender their devices. And their parents can reach them in an emergency. Actually, our family had an emergency a few years back, and we were able to reach our daughters. It took longer than we liked, but we could. And they have the freedom of spending 1 week free from the constant distractions of their devices. I talked to a kid yesterday who, he had just come back. It was his first time going to an elementary school camp. He literally crying because he had made such good friends at camp. And considered it cruel that camp had to end. The kinds of human connections that we can make when we're free from distraction. Or even the joy of gathering in, like, it's this wooden outdoor amphitheater, hardly any technology. And just kids who are just eager to connect with Jesus in worship. All these things we sometimes feel like we need, and yet you remove the distractions and we discover that Jesus is all we need. One final story, then we'll close. So at the camp I was talking to, his name is Eric Cave. He's one of the youth people in our denomination, super great guy. He just got back from a trip to Taiwan, because you know where the Covenant Church is partnering with. There's a large Covenant presence in Taiwan. Actually, thinking of bringing some missionaries from Taiwan to the United States, especially because we have so many Chinese and Mandarin speaking congregations. Anyways, he was telling me about just being in a worship conference there, and how. You know, before the evening worship session, about a half hour before, they would just open up, in this case it was a Colosseum, open up the space for people to come in and pray. And how just so many people just came in to pray. And when they pray, it was just, everybody's praying out loud all at once. So it's just, it's a little chaotic, pretty amazing. But what was just so struck him was that, when people gathered for worship, I mean, they just wanted to connect with Jesus and each other. And they didn't need any sort of warm-up. Like in North American churches, you know, if you're a worship leader, you kind of need to, like, okay, let's get people's attention, let's bring them in from the foyer, let's help them feel comfortable, and then we'll move into worship. And at least in this conference in Taiwan, it's like they were right there. Like they were just so hungry for God that then when they actually did start the worship songs, it's like the roof just blew off the place. And it just gets me thinking, like, what would it be like because there's nothing particularly special about the people in Taiwan other than there was this deep, deep hunger for Jesus. And we can experience all those same things here. Like if we come into worship, like just eagerly anticipating to meet with God and to worship together and to connect with Him, to seek first the kingdom of God and trust that all of these things will be given to us as well. Like Jesus, folks, Jesus is, He's all we need. All we need. So let's be thoughtful about the distractions.